It's Wednesday, November 30, the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio. Clarky, morning to you, mate. Can you just remind me when I've got to do the weather, please?
Oh, my
mate?
God. That was good morning to everybody. So there's a reason we are meant to start at 5.30. It's now 5.38. That's plenty of time.
Yeah.
You prepping for the weather just then was disgraceful.
Yeah, I was off the mark.
You didn't even have it on. What about you go, oh, yeah, it's going to be a good day in Sydney. And then you actually look, read it and go, oh, maybe not.
Well,
it's going to be quite cloudy.
My screen locked.
You were going with yesterday's weather. You were going with yesterday's weather thinking it was going to be the same today. And then you looked and go, oh, that's about to bucket down. Change that. Change that.
Look, I will update that. Partly cloudy and 23 today.
So good.
But we're all back in the studio. Loz, morning to you, mate. How are you?
How are we all? All good?
Going well, buddy. Missed you yesterday?
Yeah.
Last couple of days. Hey, what day is today? Wednesday?
Yeah, Wednesday.
Monday, Tuesday?
Come on, mate. I just said it.
Yeah, my bad. I don't think I'm switched
on. Well, you know what I am looking forward to? And I didn't really look forward to the World Cup of...
Cricket. But today...
I'm looking forward to the Test match starting.
Yeah, now that it's... When it starts,
I know that, you know, there's a lot of negativity around cricket at the moment, and I'm ready to believe that there's not going to be a lot of people at the ground. Mm. But I like Test match cricket. It's always been my number one. It's always been a game I can sit there and watch from the very first ball to the last ball. And I'm unsure of how many days this Test match will go for. Mm. But I'm really looking forward to having it on. And hopefully the West Indies can put up a good show.
Yeah, bring it on. In fact, we've got it on in the studio here, Fox Cricket. And there they are showing the classic series back in the early 90s between Australia and the West Indies. There's Phil Simmons, who's about to start his last series as coach as well.
Such a champion.
Standing down after, well, he's been there for a few years. And, of course, he made that decision heading into their, well, failure to qualify, in fact, for the main draw at the 2020 World Cup recently. But, he's sat there and he's watched, I guess, the decline of West Indies cricket for 25 years now. But... Yeah, what a player he was in the early 90s. But
great fieldsman as well.
Fieldsman. Superb.
It's hard when
good
you
bowl
watch.
As well.
Yeah, good bowl. Yeah, I agree. It's hard when you watch. Oh, that's out. Richie Richardson, plum LBW. Got him, Merv. He's got him. Watching this, like, and I've been watching this the last few days at home, just having it on in the background as well. It makes you realise how much we loved a strong West Indies cricket team.
Yeah.
You know, Richie Richardson was one of my favourites. Viv Richards before him. And then, you know, the Prince, my absolute favourite, Brian Lara. You know, three of my favourite cricketers growing up from the West Indies. Yet, you know, I don't know. I'd know four players in this West Indies team now, you know, and it's so sad that they're in this position. And I think we've been saying it for, you know, nearly 10 years now, West Indies cricket needs to get back to its best. And I thought maybe 2020 cricket might be the way to do that. But unfortunately, that doesn't seem to be helping either. So I don't know what to expect this summer. I heard Mark Taylor's comments yesterday saying West Indies have got some good quicks and they might trouble the Australian batters. I think that's Mark Taylor saying that for the benefit of trying to get people to turn TVs on or go and watch the game. They have got some speed. A couple of their quicks have got some pace, but very rarely in Australia does that worry you too much. Someone bowling fast. Mm. I think if you don't get the right line and the right length, no matter how fast you are, you'll get pumped here in Australia. So I just hope for this series' sake that we see some of this talent shine through. You know, we spoke about Shivnarine Chandrapur's son, left-hand bat, looks exactly like his dad, coming off 100 and a 50 in the PM's 11. Good young player. He'll make his test debut. So, you know, imagine if he gets a chance to make his first test 100 here on Aussie soil. That'll be awesome. So I just hope we get to see West Indies play their absolute best and maybe Australia, you know, take a couple of things for granted, miss a few tricks, and then we've got, you know, a series on. But looking at the two teams in these conditions, I just think Australia are going to dominate from ball one.
I'll tell you what I did notice yesterday, and I don't know whether it was just arrogance or what it was from the West Indies. A lot of them come out to bat, and I know they're facing spinners, but even against the fast bowlers, they've
floppy
got
hat.
Floppy hat on.
Mate. Back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
And it's this game, because this game was on in the background yesterday.
Keithy Arthurton.
You've got Curtly Ambrose comes out the bat and he's got the floppy white on and he's facing Merv and McDermott and all those guys. I just sort of had a bit of a chuckle to myself and I thought...
They're too cool, mate. The West Indies were they always have been just the coolest cricketers. You talk about natural athletes. Some of these guys that I was lucky enough to play against, mate, the way they run, one-hand pickup, direct hit off balance throws, like they're freak athletes. Mm. It's unbelievable how naturally gifted they are, but for some reason... Yeah, it just hasn't, I don't know, it hasn't gone into their cricket. And, you know, like I say, Phil Simmons is one of the nicest men you'll meet. He's been around that setup for a long time. And if he can't get them to perform, I don't know what coach can.
Interesting some of his comments, actually. Phil Simmons, he spoke to the Herald and on reflecting on the decline of cricket in the West Indies. You know, he says that, you know, they've messed up and always looking for the next Richards, Haynes, Greenwich.
Yeah.
So players get discarded pretty quickly. There's no sort of continuity. Look, they did win a series against England earlier this year, but in their own conditions, of course. So they have had their moments, but they haven't had their moments here for a very long time. In fact, they haven't beaten us in a test since 2003 when they chased down 418 in Antigua.
Yeah, and I think playing in their own backyard gives them some chance. I think these conditions are, for a lot of these young West Indian players, are going to be so foreign. That extra pace when they're batting against the Australian quicks is going to be hard for them to adjust to. The bounce that Nathan Lyon gets in Australia is going to be hard to adjust to. You know, I think they'll find it hard to just sit there and block and block and block and wait for a bad ball. That bat pad leg side slip, bat pad offside is going to come into play. If they have low hands like you do in the West Indies, that ball will hit their glove. So they'll look to try and dominate Nathan Lyon, and really they'll go leg side with either. And Paddy Cummins will probably have a man out on that slog sweep as well. So you don't really have a place to go. You've got to use your feet. You've got to get forward. You've got to get back against Nathan Lyon. I think they're going to find that extra hard. And then when they bowl, the biggest mistake quicks make here in Australia is because you got extra pace and bounce, you bowl too short. And if you bowl just a foot too short, that's the difference between a batsman playing and missing versus nicking it. So if you don't know that or you haven't had the experience, it takes time to work that out. And by the time they work it out, the two test matches are gone. You know, so I just hope they've got, even in their coaching staff, some people that have actually been in these conditions, played in these conditions to be able to help these youngsters. But, yeah, bowling 145 Ks in Australia, 150 Ks in Australia, doesn't make you a wicket taker. It actually makes it easier to score as a batsman if you don't get your length and line right.
You spoke about discarding players early. I think that happens in a lot of sports. The problem is, though, when you haven't got a great number to choose from, when you're not churning out those numbers, you can discard someone easily. But if you persevere with that player, eventually he might turn into someone pretty special. But when you're talking the likes of, say, NFL or even soccer overseas, where it's a number one game, they probably can afford to do it. We see it here in Australia with a lot of sports.
Good point.
We see it here in rugby league. Like, if you haven't made it by 18 or 19, they tend to overlook you, thinking, oh, well, he's not going to make it. But they shouldn't, because players mature at different ages. They just need a bit of time. They need a bit of confidence. And you'll never see the best of a player until he gets around that 100-game mark. So I think that's an issue for all sports. We want things to happen instantaneously. And sometimes we just haven't got, or that player is not ready to go.
Willow from Windsor on the text line. Morning, boys. I'm just looking forward to seeing red ball cricket. We've had white ball cricket overload the past few months. I'm tipping Davey Warner to go big today, says Willow from Windsor. And just on the weather, it's drizzling in Botany, boys, says the Botany forecaster. So there you go. Some drizzle around Sydney as well, pup.
It's all right. As long as it doesn't rain in Perth.
There's by the way, he was... we're just watching Curtly in the floppy hat get a... just nick one to behind the keeper with off Merv Hughes, but he was the one for me, Curtly.
Ambrose. Genius.
Every single time you saw him with the ball in hand, you were worried.
Yep.
As an Australian, you were genuinely just, you knew, it was like warning. You knew something was going to happen.
Absolute genius.
He was the best bowler I reckon I've watched in my...
I reckon
fast bowler.
The two...
Him and McGrath.
The two best I reckon I've ever seen were Ambrose and Akram. Wasim Akram was the hardest for a right-handed batsman to play because he bowled 140 Ks plus, swung it back in late, and then if it didn't swing, you had natural angle across you, which made it hard as well. So it always brought both sides. It brought LBW in if it swings back in or bowled. And then if you didn't swing, it brings outside edge, caught behind, caught slips. He was quick enough, had a quick bouncer, 145 plus. And then he was one of the all-time greatest reverse swing bowlers. Unplayable. I reckon Akram and then Ambrose again. Tall, hit the right length, seam, nasty.
It's amazing, too, with fast bowlers because you think massive run-up.
Well, like, Akram was very short.
Didn't have him, did he?
Very
short.
Had
that whippy action.
Mate, it's like, I think it was 14 steps or something, his run-up. It was tiny. It was like indoor cricket run-up.
He could move the ball, though,
mate,
couldn't he?
He was so
Who
skillful.
Was the other Pakistani that had the long...
Shoaib Akhtar.
Shoaib Akhtar.
He ran a 100-metre sprint.
Mate.
100-metre sprint. That you know the other thing about Shoaib Akhtar that people didn't know? He had his own... I don't know where he got them made, but he had his own shoes that he was comfortable in. I don't know why he thought they were like the duck's nuts, but these things were like clogs. They were the heaviest boots I've ever felt in my life. So to run in a 100-metre sprint like that, ball after ball, with the heaviest shoes on, mate, it was just it was never going to last 100 test matches.
Yeah, right.
It was going to break at some stage, but he was... Everything was hurricane. Yeah. He would run in as quick as he could. He would bowl it as quick as he could. He would tell you that he's going to try and kill you as quick as he could. Like, he just wanted...
He got the 160K mark.
Yeah,
there, didn't he?
Consistently. He was the fastest bowler that I ever faced, hands down. And I saw Brett Lee, I saw Sean Tate, I saw Mitchell Johnson. Shoaib Akhtar was quicker than all of them. He was lightning, man. Yeah. And did not know where it was going.
Yeah.
So what hope did you have as a batsman?
Yeah. Tim,
yeah, they're all the scary ones, aren't they?
Mate, 100%.
You don't know where they're going. Yeah. The beamer.
Mate, yeah.
Could be anything.
Yorker, break your big toe, beamer, hit in the helmet, good quick bouncer. And he was aggressive too, Shoaib.
Yeah.
Like, if he couldn't get you out, verbal. He was happy to try and hit you in the helmet regularly.
By the way.
Sorry, Mido, go for it.
No, I was going to say, how cool was Carl Hooper as well?
Mate, Carl Hooper was Mark Waugh of West Indian cricket. Yeah. Field, bat, amazing. Bowl, field, off spinners. Mate, unbelievable player. That's what I'm saying. Like, look at how many superstars they had.
Yeah.
He would have been hard to face as well, I reckon, Ian Bishop in his prime.
Just less than 10 minutes away from two massive games at the World Cup. Now, Group B, England on 4 points, Iran 3, United States 2, and Wales 1. And Iran and the USA playing their game under a hotbed of political tension in the background, let's just say that. But USA, $1.95 favourites. Iran, $3.80. The draw, $3.60. Goodness me. We've just watched what Ian Bishop hit 22-year-old Justin Langer on debut in the head or in the helmet. And then Curtly Ambrose has hit David Boone in the arm.
Elbow, I reckon.
And
busted
you
sure.
Never saw Booney hurt ever. And he's had to come off.
How do you feel Mark Waugh walking out the bat after that? Nick, Phil Simmons takes a scream, a second slip. Yeah, you don't want to walk out and bat after that.
Jeez. All right, back page in the Daily Telegraph and so much Socceroos. Great to see. 2 a.m. tomorrow. Advance Australia far is the headline there. Picture of Aaron Moy all over, taking the whole back page of the Telegraph. Real awakening. Arnold says success, a matter of mindset as history beckons for Socceroos before Denmark showdown is the headline on the back page of the Herald. The Aussie... Arnie tells Ruse to focus on his message. And this is the moment of truth tomorrow. And it could be Graham Arnold's last game in charge of the Socceroos. Hopefully not. Hopefully we're advancing in this World Cup. He's implored his players to steer clear of social media as much as possible. To particularly just not to sit there reading all the adulation as well, let alone the criticism that one cops. But they've copped plenty of course, support. Since the win against Tunisia, just trying to keep them level.
Oh, it's just good advice, Mido. Just stay grounded because you can, you know, read all the negative comments after game one, or you can put your head down, work hard, which they did, got the result in game two, and just stay away from it while you're in this tournament because you can get sidetracked pretty quickly. And their job is on trying to win this game on the weekend. And it could be a defining moment for a lot of their careers. You know, they're in a great position. They go in with a lot of confidence. They go in with great belief, which you need. But it's going to be difficult. I mean, they're a very, very good footballing nation, but we need to fight above our weight again. And if we can put them under pressure early and fight hard for that 90 minutes, then you never know what we're capable of doing.
Now, there's plenty there in relation to Pat Cummins fronting the media for the pre-match test media conference yesterday, and we will get to that. But, Loz, late last night I saw Buzz put a tweet out saying Phil Rothfield, this is. So the NRL won't let Laurie Daly work for the Sea Eagles because he works for a radio station owned by the TAB. At the same time, they allow Matt Tripp to be chairman of Melbourne Storm and be part owner of a corporate bookmaker firm. Work that out. So what's happened? Update us. So what's happened?
Well, it's pretty simple, Mido. I'm not allowed to have any association with a club because of the links to TAB. Mm-hmm. Would have loved to have been a part of it. Yeah, well, obviously, I'd like to think they would change their mind, but I don't think they will. But I was informed of the decision by Jason King from the NRL Integrity Unit. We spoke about it, and he told me the reasons why. They've got strict codes when it comes to players, coaches, all officials being involved in the game and being involved with betting agencies. I accepted those words, but it's one of those things. I'm disappointed. I would have loved to have been able to do it. I think I would have had a lot to offer, but at the end of the day, the rules are that I can't do it. So you've got to play by those rules and accept the decision.
I guess the thing, I'm obviously disappointed for you as we are in here, but the difference this time, because I made the mistake of looking at the comments under that tweet from Buzz, the difference this time compared to last time when you weren't allowed with the Tigers and Michael Maguire, that was a coaching role. This isn't a coaching role, is it?
There was some coaching in there because there was some mentoring and some coaching with the halves.
Manly or the Tigers?
At Manly. There was some coaching component to it, but not a lot. I mean, you were just working with individuals. But it was all, pathways. It was all, list management. It was all different aspects of the business. For me, I would have loved to have got back involved because, get to know what a football club is like again, the inner workings of it. You think you've got something to offer and you think you can help some young footy players. And it would have been lovely to work with the Manly halves, but, unfortunately, not to be. But again, I got to accept the umpire's decision and you got to move on.
Frustration for us, Clark, is we could fine-tooth the game and find conflicts of interest absolutely everywhere.
Well, if you read Buzz's article, that's enough. There's one example in Melbourne, their CEO. That's conflicting and that's confusing to me. I think that's the only other example that I don't need another one. How's it okay for some but not okay for all? Anyway, he could sit here for hours. Loz said, I think I think his attitude towards it's spot on. He would love to be involved. I think it's a loss for the game. It's a loss for rugby league. When you got legends of the game that actually do want to be a part of it, and you find a way to keep them out, I think that's the NRL's loss. There's no doubt about it.